It does. Well, excuse me. I still have burrito in my throat. Hi, I'm Steve.
And I'm Zach, and this is Fireside Swift.
This is gonna be a fun episode.
It's definitely a different episode.
Yeah, this is okay, so there's several things different about this episode. Number one, I'm going on vacation tomorrow.
He has zero thought put into this. Like, he's not concentrating on this at all. His mind is on the beach.
Yeah, not only, I mean, normally my mind's on the beach, but this is a different beach.
Okay, and that makes all the difference.
I love the beach so much, I go from my home at the beach to a different beach and call it vacation.
That's rough. That's rough.
I know, right?
To have to find another beach because your beach is just so normal to you. I'm sorry to hear that you have to go.
Actually, this
that.
Is the first vacation to a different beach from this beach since I moved to this beach.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm actually a little curious, like, now that I live in a place that some people go to vacation, that is this going to feel as much of a vacation?
I don't know. It sounds like you have 99 problems, but a beach ain't one.
Why did you say that during the show? That should have been the start of the show. I'm not going to cut that out, though, because that's just,
fine.
Yeah. Anyways, normally I don't do homework. This time I definitely did do homework because I was busy doing work at work, preparing for this week that I'm going to be on vacation.
Right, and that's how it goes sometimes, right? If you're going to be taking the next week off, you have to do 2 weeks' worth of work in 1 week.
Yeah, it's funny how that
and
works.
Then you're allowed to take a vacation.
Yeah, yeah. And there's still I'm taking a laptop. I'm sure I'm going to really try not to work, but yeah, you know how that goes.
Yeah, it's going to be calling to you.
Yeah.
It will be calling to you.
It will be.
Yep. And so
I received some of the best advice from a friend that said, when you respond to messages that will inevitably get to you while you're on vacation, if you feel compelled to answer, make sure you answer after the workday is over.
I like that advice.
Yeah, so that way they don't respond right away.
I like that advice quite a bit.
I thought that was really great advice. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, no one from my company is listening to this.
I'm sure no one does.
Yeah. No.
If you're still working there, chances are you're good to go.
Yeah. All right. let's see here. So this is this is gonna be a little interesting. We're we didn't choose a very highly technical topic this time because we didn't have time to prepare too much for it. So we chose something that we both love.
And, exactly.
What's that, Zach?
That would be the Big Nerd Ranch books.
Well, I don't think it's just the Big Nerd Ranch books. I would say it's the whole
Big
company.
Nerd Ranch as a company. So I'm really just familiar with the books. So if you want to go and, you know, talk about your love for Aaron Hillegast, that's all on you.
we'll see what happens when we get there.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this goes.
But yeah, so both of us have experience with the books, and we'll get into that. I have also gone to a boot camp. I have met Aaron in person at a talk he gave in San Francisco. So we're going to talk about, you know, our experiences with Big Nerd Ranch and how it helped both of us become better developers.
Exactly, and we may get into our approaches into how we consumed the books, and I think that's going to be an interesting topic of conversation as well.
I think so too. So going into it, like we said earlier, both of us have experienced the iOS books, but in different ways. So do you want to go first, Zach, or do you want me to start off?
You know what? You're so excited. I'm going to let you just take the ball and run because I feel like if I don't, you'll just be sitting over there waiting to speak.
So, go chopping at the bit.
Exactly.
Okay. So, I started with Big Nerd Ranch when I was working on getting my master's degree in electrical engineering, at New Mexico State University. And I was almost done. I had one more semester of classes to take, and then the next semester I was going to spend all that time doing my thesis. that last semester, there were several classes I wanted to take, and one of them that popped up, you know, a professor that I really enjoyed, you know, his lectures, he decided he was going to teach iOS development. And I was like, I really would like to take that class. But it was at the same time as my neural networking class. And so I talked to the professor and I said, hey, look, I'm very curious about this. I would like to take this class, but I have this other class at the same time. Can we work something out? And he was kind enough to let me take the class with the stipulation that I read all the chapters, did all the homework, took all the quizzes, and did all the projects. But I didn't have to attend all of the classes.
That's a very cool professor.
Yes. And I talked to the other professor because obviously this, when I'm taking quizzes and I had to, like, part of this class was we had to actually lecture one of the classes.
Right.
So that would be a class I'd miss of the other professor. So I talked to him and he was cool enough to let me do this as well.
Nice. So. Sounds like you you lucked out.
Yeah. Yeah. So most of the time I was in my neural networking course. But, you know, what really taught me iOS development, and this was my first experience with iOS development, by the way, I used to teach C programming while I was getting my graduate degree. So I knew C really well, but I didn't know anything with GUIs or, I definitely didn't know mobile development. I knew MATLAB really well. I knew some Python.
And how much did that help you?
Well, I worked for the Navy right after, so I did some MATLAB work with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but MATLAB's... Well, and also, with my thesis, MATLAB has a really awesome neural networking... what's that called? It's like a library, but... it's an add-on to MATLAB. I forgot what they call those. Yeah. Anyways, it's really great. It does parallel processing really well, and so it's very easy to train networks through MATLAB. It just costs you an arm and a leg if you're not a student. So
I got you. And yeah. So what was the textbook for that iOS course? Was it the Big Nerd Ranch books?
Yes. And so it actually had two of the Big Nerd Ranch books as textbooks. And this was around iOS 6, when iOS 6 was out. So
okay.
The two books were Objective-C by Big Nerd Ranch and the iOS development book with Objective-C for Big Nerd Ranch.
Okay.
And we went about halfway through the Objective-C book, and then we put that away and then started on the iOS development book and continued that for the rest of the semester. So
okay, and when you went through the... We said you did half of the Objective-C book. Did you start at the beginning and do like half linearly? Like, did you do the first half or did the professor jump around?
I think there was a little bit of jumping around, but it was fairly linear in a way too.
Okay.
I think it was like skipping every so often because it was chapters that the professor didn't feel like we needed to know, but he wanted us to have some base in Objective-C before we got started with the iOS book.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I was amazed at how, like, what I knew in C translated to Objective-C. And it also made, I just thought Objective-C was just a better version of C. In my opinion. So
okay.
Come at me, everyone. That's, else.
Yeah, there you go. C. Call them out. I see I'm rubbing off on you.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Come at me, Twitter.
There you go.
I think Objective-C is a good language.
Yes. You know, that's the kind of thing Twitter wars are made out of, right?
Yeah. Because this was my first experience with mobile development, and particularly iOS development, I still have a fondness for Objective-C. I think it's a great language. I thoroughly enjoy programming with it. But to me, like, the way the Big Nerd Ranch books presented the information, it made it easy for me to grasp the topic as well.
Okay. And that's quick preview of what I'm going to say, that's kind of what I believe as well.
So, you know, going, you know, continue the story, I didn't learn iOS development from this class. I learned it by essentially reading the Big Nerd Ranch books for the class.
Right, because you were never in the class.
Exactly.
Outside of quizzes and tests and teaching the class.
Yep. And I, yeah, so I fully credit Big Nerd Ranch with teaching me iOS development, which led to, at the end of the semester, starting my first company and, you know, actually making money with iOS development and turning it into a passion, which led to my current career.
Well, that's very impressive. So it sounds like they provided a decent springboard then.
I would say so.
Wow. Okay.
Pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, Zach, what's your experience with the Big Nerd Ranch?
My experience is, you know, it's much shorter than what yours is.
Okay.
So I, earlier this year, I decided, you know, I've always been interested in app development. I messed around with a little Android development when I was in school getting my own master's degree earlier, but I never really followed through with it. And I thought, you know, iOS development would be something that would be interesting to learn, first off. And so it also because it was different than what I already know.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to learn something that was similar to what I knew. I wanted to make my knowledge as broad as possible.
Makes sense.
And so I chose iOS development. The problem was I didn't have a Mac, and I knew nothing of any type of iOS development, Swift, Objective-C, or otherwise. And so earlier this year, I decided to take the plunge. I went out and I bought a Mac, and along with the Mac, I bought I bought the two Big Nerd Ranch guides, the latest ones, I guess, as of today's date, September 1st,
okay.
Which is Swift programming and iOS programming.
Okay.
And I...
So, kind of similar to me.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Yeah, exactly. And, it was basically me just learning it on my own. I was never quizzed or tested. But that's one of the strengths, I think, of the Big Nerd Ranch guides. Then we get into that later, is the bronze, silver, and gold challenges at the end.
Yep.
So I looked around online because I wanted to see, you know, I've got these two books. Which is there an order? What makes the most sense? And I found a lot of people saying, go through this. And I think even the Big Nerd Ranch guides themselves say, go through the Swift book so you get an understanding of the language, then dive into the iOS book.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so I read through the Swift book the first time, and I was able to get through it pretty quickly. And I did none of the challenges the first time through. I just read through it to kind of get an idea of where everything stood. But I was able to get through it pretty quickly because a lot of the concepts in there are concepts that exist in Java, which is the language that I'm most familiar with. So it came easily to me. And then I dove into the iOS book and I did the same thing. I read through that one completely. And that one was mostly foreign because I didn't understand, you know, auto layouts and constraints, and it's all, you know, there's a lot of it's, you know, laying out your GUI and getting, you know, your controller to talk to your view, and kind of what we talked about last episode with the model view controller. And then that's after that I decided to go back through the iOS book again.
Okay.
Except this time I did every challenge and I did all of the coding exercises in the book as well. And I neglected to go through the first one because I felt like I had a pretty good handle on it. And
So you didn't read the first book at all?
No, that's what I said. I read the first book.
But you didn't do
it. I didn't
go
back and go through the exercises specifically.
Oh, okay.
I picked out one or two that I felt like I didn't grasp the topic fully and I just needed a little more. And I did those okay, but I didn't commit myself to doing the entire book. I did the entire iOS programming book cover to cover.
So I think this is where, you know, Zach and I are like starkly in disagreement. Zach absolutely reads Big Nerd Ranch books wrong.
And I do what works for me and not works what works for Steven, and it upsets him. It still
makes you wrong, but that's okay.
I'm happy to be wrong my way. That's fine with me.
So to me, like, the best way to read a Big Nerd Ranch book is next to your computer with your computer open, you know, Xcode open, and read the chapter and literally do everything that they say from page one. Because it makes, what I did the second time, you had to read it through. So you knew all the secrets. It's like, you know, reading the last page of the book and then going back and reading it from the beginning. Like the adventure, you got to like experience it through.
See, I got to experience it again. I doubled down.
At least you did go through it the second time, because I think a lot of people will read through them and feel like they didn't get anything out of them. And then... but they miss out of like one of the key ingredients of a Big Nerd Ranch book, which is the doing portion of it.
And I agree with that fully. Reading it through the first time without putting any pressure on me to try to even understand what was happening, because there's no pressure on me, I feel like I absorb the information much better when I'm not like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read this chapter and I'm going to bang out all the words on the keyboard, and then when something breaks, get super frustrated. I'm going to read it through the first time, and then the second time when I sit down to do all that, I will, and it may be cheating. That's fine.
Yeah, you're cheating.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. You know, I'll know where it wants me to be, and I'll kind of see where it's going, and, you know, maybe it makes me feel good.
Just getting
ahead.
To each their own. I think I read it in one of the Bigger Ranch books. I could be completely wrong about this too, but I thought I remember reading that in like one of the opening chapters, they're like, just sit down and just type everything. Don't copy and paste. Don't find answers. Just, you know, just write what we write. You know, do what we do until you get to the challenges. Then, you know, that get on, you know, GitHub and get on Stack Overflow and all that and find your answers.
And they do say that at the beginning of the books, and okay, that's not something that I do very well.
Well, to me it's
because,
like,
if I see a bug pop up, I'm going to sit there and try to figure out what
exactly
is wrong with the bug.
Exactly. But here's the thing, find it right there.
But here's the thing, so they don't write buggy code, but they will write code that they will finish later in the chapter.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so
it teaches you to be patient.
I have no patience. I don't want to see any red. No red.
I don't even like yellow. Yeah. They usually call it out. You would hate Swiftlint then. I don't know if you use Swiftlint, but no. There's yellow everywhere with that.
Oh, God. Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. Where was I going with this?
They usually call it out.
Yeah, they usually call it out when they're going to, you know, they say starting here, and you're going to see red, that's okay, we're going to fix that a little bit.
It's not okay. I get all twitchy, I start breaking out in hives, it's a bad situation. like I said, that's me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a similar-ish experience, like, going into the books, too. I didn't own a Mac before I took that class. I didn't own an iPhone before I took that class. I was a diehard Android fanboy. I'm willing to say
that.
Oh,
really?
I honestly looked down on people at that time who had iPhones.
I don't know if I knew that about you.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I did, when I went back to school to get my master's, I saw people with iPads in my classes, and they were taking notes with their iPads. And this was back when the iPad 2 was out.
Right.
And I thought that was the coolest thing, because they were recording lectures, they were taking notes. Like, oftentimes the professor would provide, like, PDF notes mm-hmm. of the class. And they were just annotating the notes on top with what they learned during the lectures.
Yeah, that's nice.
Taking pictures of the board for the professors that would write too fast on the chalkboard. I thought that was super, super cool. And so I bought the iPad 3 the day it came out. And so that was my only iOS device going into this this class. And
okay, so you were a crazy Android fanboy.
Yep.
Until you saw people using that technology.
No, I was still an Android fanboy.
Okay, so then why would you buy the iPad 3 and why would you take the iOS course?
Like I said, I bought the iPad because I did the research and, like, I looked around and saw nobody had Android tablets in the class. And the Android tablets at the time, the touchscreens were terrible, so you couldn't take notes really on Android tablets. They just were awful.
Okay.
I bought an iPad because it was the best tablet I could get at the time.
Okay, so you weren't a fanboy to the point where you would.
I wasn't going to get an iPhone. One of the reasons I was thinking of taking this iOS course is I thought that, you know, I could make more money making iOS apps because people who buy iPhones are suckers.
Wow. Okay.
So that was my original thinking on it.
Man, you came into this with all sorts of malice.
Oh, yeah. It was purely evil.
Wow.
But I thought it was interesting, and I was curious about it. It was a spring class, and so I saved up my money all fall semester because I knew I was going to take this class, and so I purchased the bottom of the line MacBook Air before that semester, and it was a used one. I went into the semester with a used 11-inch MacBook Air, and holy crap, was that a nice computer!
Really?
Yes, I still have it. I've got it right here next to me, and I still love the feel of it. It's an amazing piece of machinery.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, probably the best keyboard I've ever experienced on a MacBook. It's just an all-around great product. And so that really started me off down the, you know, possibly the more evil path of becoming a Apple fanboy.
So the iPad didn't sell you on it really until you had the MacBook Air.
I mean, the iPad definitely planted the seed because I loved my iPad. After I started using it, I really started to love it.
Okay, and you realized you could use it without your fingers burning off, and you didn't feel like a dirty man.
Yeah. Okay. I was starting to see that there may be something to what these Apple guys are saying. But still, like, iPhone is just overpriced. Like, you know, Android has, you know, the freedoms and all yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And they're faster, blah, 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 blah.
So what I'm hearing is that the Big Nerd Ranch, just not only books, but as a whole, they were a major part of your redemption story.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, Aaron the Redeemer?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we didn't talk about feedback. We did have some feedback, and I moved it to the end of the notes because we forgot to talk about it at the beginning. But yes, I'm like Sauron from Lord of the Rings, except imagine Sauron gets redeemed. You know, he gets the ring back and decides to toss it into Mount Doom instead.
Okay, so you're like an alternate version Sauron.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, or maybe that's Gollum, you know, who gets redeemed. You know,
does he get redeemed though? He doesn't get.
Sure, why not? My story, he does.
Okay, and you're, I mean, this is your world, we're all just living
We talked about this. He is the hero of Lord of the Rings.
Sam's the hero.
No, Gollum is, right?
Sam's the hero. I had people backing me up on Twitter.
He bites the finger off, and he's like,
I think as soon as you bite someone's finger off, you are no longer the hero. That just excludes you. Okay, let's get back on track.
Let's get back.
Okay, it's late. We're a little punchy right now, so this is going to be a wild one.
Okay, so let's see here. Where are we? We are still in the books.
Yeah, we're still in the books.
Okay. So after I took the class and got all into this, the following year I got to go to AltConf in San Francisco. For those of you who don't know, AltConf is an alternate conference next to WWDC. It used to be across the street from WWDC in San Francisco, across the street from Moscone. but last year it was in San Jose, literally next door to WWDC. And one of the nice things about it is it's free, and they invite speakers from anybody who's in the Apple ecosystem of developers to speak. It's not just Apple speakers, you know, people who work for Apple.
Right.
So highly recommend going to AllConf.
Is it more of a community feeling maybe than WWDC is?
Well,
because I've never been to either, and I this year was the first year I've ever even really followed coverage.
Yeah. I guess I can't really speak to WWDC because I've only been near it but not in it. So I can't. Okay. Once I've gone to WWDC, I'll be able to speak more to
That's
the
fair.
Differences. But I will say it definitely has a community feel to it. And it's really nice to hear about how other developers in different parts of the mobile development community, or actually it's not just mobile, it's Apple development community. It's nice to hear their voices.
Well, that's awesome.
But while I was there in San Francisco, at an event at the Apple store after hours, Aaron Hilgas spoke, and his talk, which I still to this day remember as the best talk of that week, was how to become a great developer in just 20 years.
And that's all it takes, not 20 years?
Just 20 years. I mean,
sign me up.
He said that, I forgot what he said, he did it like 25 or 30 or something like that, but if you followed his rules exactly, you could get there in just 20 years.
You could take the accelerated course.
Accelerated course.
I like it.
Yeah, and I had the pleasure of, when I walked in the Apple store and walked up the stairs, I was there with a buddy of mine, and we were looking around for a place to sit, and one of the Apple employees asked, can I help you? And I was like, oh yeah, we're here for, and I looked over and I saw Aaron, recognized him immediately. He's wearing the cowboy hat. And I'm like, oh, well, we're exactly where we need to be. This is the guy we came to see.
Wow.
Yeah, and Aaron, he looks at me, gets the biggest smile on his face, takes a few steps over, shakes my hand, and then we have this like 15-minute conversation. And by the way, we got there like right on time.
Right.
So he was supposed to be, speaking in like 5 minutes when we got there, and yet he stopped and spoke to me, looked me dead in the eye. Acted like there was no worries in the world, made me feel like I was like the only person in that room worth talking to. It just like, it was a really like neat experience. If you ever get a chance to talk to Aaron, he just has that ability to just make you feel super welcoming, or he's super welcoming, makes you feel welcomed.
Right. That sounds, I mean, I want to meet anybody that's like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I want to be one of those people.
Exactly. Yeah, I hope that I am one of those people.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
And yeah, we finished. We ended up finished talking, and we're looking around. I'm like, oh man, there's no seats left. He's like, oh, I got a seat for you. And he took. There was a couple seats in the front. He's like, here you go, right here.
What?
It was like so nice.
Wow. Yeah.
And
so what you're saying is you show up after everybody else. You talk to the speaker, and he sits you in the front row.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And it was a fantastic talk. I took so much from that because it really was a pragmatic look at this is not something that you could do overnight.
Right.
Which is interesting coming from a guy who started a boot camp company.
that's
one of the big things that Big Nerd Ranch does is these boot camps.
Right.
And
where they're there to kind of hopefully jumpstart your career or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, but here's this guy saying, oh no, it's gonna take hard work in 20 years. Yeah.
That's really good to hear because, I think a lot of people get sucked into that boot camp mentality.
Yeah.
I'll do this for 3 months and then I'll leave and be the best developer ever.
Yeah. And that's not the case.
No, that's not the case. And that's actually going back to the books. Like, the last chapter of every book is one page, and it's like, you finished the book, congratulations, you're not where you need to be yet.
Yeah, this is just the start.
You can say you're a developer, and you have, you have the tools, but you need to refine them.
Yep.
And I think that's the perfect message to send at the end of the at the end of each book.
Absolutely. One of the things that struck me the most during his talk was actually their philosophy in designing the Big Nerd Ranch books and like the way they teach. And hopefully I'm not going to butcher this. I'll do my best to explain what I got out of this talk.
Sure. Put words in Aaron's mouth.
I'm going to put words right in Aaron's mouth and absolutely invite him to contradict me publicly and shame me. I'm okay with that too.
That's okay. That means we got through.
Yeah, at least he heard me. So this is what I got out of it.
I'm never giving that guy a seat ever again.
Right. So when he was talking, he said like when they were teaching Objective-C, when they he used to work for Next Step, and then eventually Apple, and then broke out and started his own company teaching this language and how to develop for Apple platforms. And he said while they were learning, they realized how people learned. And one of the things he said was most people, when they're trying to teach a concept, start very broad. Try to speak in very large brush strokes, trying to describe like the thing abstractly and just get really, really big. And then they get a little more specific and then narrow it down a little bit more and get more specific and then narrow it down more, very specific. Eventually you get to the part where you're doing something.
Exactly.
Like,
yes.
That's just like every single one of my classes that I've ever taken.
Right.
Is that the same with you, Zach?
Yeah, basically. It's you get the syllabus on day one and you look down and generally the first couple of weeks are, this is to get you a foundation.
Yeah, broad overview.
Exactly, a 5,000-foot abstract idea of what we'll be doing the rest of the semester.
Yeah, and what Aaron said was people don't learn that way. What happens is when you start that broad and you narrow it down, the student is still thinking about these broad topics before instead of understanding the little thing you're trying to tell them. Like, their brain is already working on this broad topic and they can't even comprehend something small that you're trying to tell them to do.
Right. So he's saying you're turning on a fire hose when what you need is a garden hose.
Yeah, well, yeah, start with a trickle and then eventually blast them in the face with a fire hose.
Exactly.
And, take off skin and all sorts of other stuff.
Yep.
But the first, just like a drinking fountain.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
But yeah, so this goes into the philosophy of how they wrote the Big Nerd Ranch books, where it practically tells you in the first chapter, sit down, shut up, write what I write, and afterwards we'll talk about it. And so, it has you, start writing code and you just copy everything that's in the book. You copy it down word for word. And then you finish a section and it says, okay, hit play. Now see what happened. Now change this one tiny thing. See what changed, and there you go. Now we started with something very, very specific. You changed one line of code and you saw the change.
Right. And your brain makes that connection much better.
Yeah.
When it's a one-to-one basis, right? Like, you made this change and then this happened, so you're more likely to retain that information moving forward.
Exactly. And then they broaden the scope a little bit and talk about, something, around that, maybe functions or methods or something like that. And then eventually they get to, the 5,000-foot model view controller. But by that time, you understand all the layers between there. And I thought, that's exactly how I learned from the Big Nerd Ranch books. And when I heard Aaron talk about it, it clicked. I was just like, oh, that's exactly the way I learn. I was so happy to hear him say that.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I understand why you have a problem with the way I approach the books now. I still think what I did works best for me because I wasn't, even though I read through the books without sitting down and detailing every little thing, I was still learning the way they set it out, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was still going through the book the way they wanted me to go through the book. I just didn't put my fingers on the keyboard until I felt more comfortable.
Yeah, and, you know, we all learn differently. You know, some people learn from videos, some people learn from books, some people learn from boot camps. And, yeah, that is one of the cool things about Big Nerd Ranch, too, is they offer several different ways to learn, not just from the books, not just from boot camps. So.
Right, and so do you want to speak to your boot camp experience? Because I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, so right after college, I started working for the Navy, and pretty early on, I got a job within there to do Android development, which was interesting because I never had written Android before at all. I actually had never done even Java programming.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
you sound like the perfect candidate.
Exactly. I apparently exuded confidence because I understood iOS development, and I didn't think it would be that much harder to learn Android.
Okay. And now that you have a little more experience, what are your thoughts?
I think that actually worked, because the first thing I had them do when I started this job was buy me the Android Big Nerd Ranch book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I like the way you played that system.
Yeah. So it was a 4-month project, and I spent the first month just going through the Big Nerd Ranch book. That's it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was supposed to be a continuation of a project, so I spent part of my time working on the book, the projects in the book, and taking notes and whatnot, and then another part of my time going through the existing app and mapping out where things were and how it was architectured.
Okay.
And by the time I finished the book, I got started, working on the project, and I was done a month early.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because, again, it speaks volumes to the way that Big Nerd Ranch just presents ideas and teaches topics. I had never worked with Java before, but I'd worked with C++, Objective-C. I've worked with these object-oriented languages before. Just by going through the Big Nerd Ranch Android book, I learned enough Java to take care of this project and get it done under budget ahead of schedule.
Right. At that point, all you really needed to do was pick up the Java-specific syntax.
Yep. And also the uniqueness of the Android operating system.
That's true.
Because there are minor differences, and it did help having the experience in iOS, because I kept trying to make comparisons, like, activities are like view controllers. Well, maybe not quite like, but fragments are pretty close to view controllers. And
you've lost me.
Yeah, so I would make those connections in my head.
Yeah.
And it really helped when I was architecturing the app out and understanding how to put it together.
So, since you know both and you went through Big Nerd Ranch to kind of learn both, would you say that there are enough? So you're saying there's enough similarities between the two where you can kind of go from one to the other fairly easily?
Yeah, I would say fairly easily. Especially now with Kotlin, I would say definitely if you know Swift, you know iOS, it wouldn't take too much to jump to Kotlin and Android. I would wait for the Big Nerd Ranch Kotlin book to come out. I think that would help.
Obviously.
But it's not that big of a leap, to be honest. There are going to be some gotchas, but if you already have a grasp of mobile development, then you'll make that transition easier than when you initially started with iOS, for sure.
That's good to know.
Let's see, so that was my I'm getting into Android development,
right?
I ended up doing enough Android for the Navy that they asked me to teach a class, which in my head I modeled after the way Big Nerd Ranch presents topics. I you know, had my students write a bunch of code, and then I would stop them, and then I would present on an idea, and we would talk about that code, and I would encourage them to change small things in it, and then we brought into something, you know, more advanced and continue on like that. So it was a week-long course, and I had a blast. I'd like to think my students had a blast too.
Do you think that your students understood it? Just the teaching style. Did you get any feedback on that?
So I did get feedback, and the feedback was overwhelmingly positive.
Okay, so it seems to be a philosophy that will work throughout.
From my experience, absolutely.
Okay, that's awesome.
I learned a ton teaching that class, and I had a ton of fun doing it too, and. Hopefully I did it right. But the whole time I kept thinking, I wonder if this is how Big Nerd Ranch boot camps actually work, because I had never gone to one.
Right.
And I'm very curious. So continuing on my career with the Navy doing Android development, an organization wanted me to write an Android app for their group. And they wanted basically a quote, like how much time is it, you know, and what resources do I need to get this job done? And I remember me, keep in mind, there's not much you can negotiate with the Navy because most of it's set in stone.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's certain things you could actually do. Like I said, there are certain concepts that I need to know to be able to execute this app to the fullness of my ability. And these things can be taught at a boot camp. And so I'm willing to do this. I expect it to take this long. And one of the requirements is you have to send me to a week-long Big Nerd Ranch boot camp.
So you called out Big Nerd Ranch specifically?
Not at first, but when I looked... So you have to... You can't do... You have to say a boot camp that teaches a certain topic.
Okay.
And when you look at the landscape, you take a look at which organizations can teach that and do teach that. And then you have to provide justification if there's less than three, I believe. There's a source selection process. And
so how did you go through that process to get to Big Nerd Ranch?
It turns out that Big Nerd Ranch was the only one teaching these topics.
Oh, well, done and done.
Yep. So there was my justification.
They're the only game in town.
The only game in town. Well, for a week. I mean, there was plenty of other boot camps that taught the same subjects, but they were like 6-month courses.
Right, and that's not something that the Navy would really want to flip the bill for.
No. So I said, okay, just, you know, send me for a week to Georgia and, you know, let me learn this stuff, and I will be able to execute your app in X amount of time. And they sent me to Georgia.
That's awesome.
So I got to hang out in Atlanta, Georgia. Got to go to the very first advanced Android development boot camp with Big Nerd Ranch. Got to call out Brian, my instructor. I made good friends with Josh, and I probably should have looked up your last names before. Before I'm calling you out. But
Josh,
if you remember who I am, I'm sure I can look it up real fast. So Zach, entertain the crowd while I do this.
So what I'm hearing is that you started a love affair, basically, with Big Nerd Ranch from like day one. As soon as your professor put those books in your hand, you were hooked. Hooked to the point where not only did you consume the books over one topic, but all of a sudden you were showing up at, you know, their meetups and, you know, getting to talk to the CEO. And outside of that, you get a new job, and then you talk your employer into sending you to their actual boot camp. That is incredible.
Yep.
Wow. So are you as big of a Big Nerd Ranch fanboy as you were an Android fanboy?
I think I'm more so, to be honest. If anybody asked me, what books I recommend or anything, I don't even pause. I go straight into Big Nerd Ranch is the best place to start.
And
start there, go from there.
That's the overwhelming favorite just in the community. I know when I first started looking at learning this stuff, I spent a lot of time in Barnes & Noble. There are a few options out there, and I would read through them and kind of get a feel for the teaching style and the material that was presented. And every time I went back, and this was a process, like I didn't spend one afternoon. I would go back, you know, week after week to go through these books. And it became very, very clear, you know, relatively quickly that Big Nerd Ranch was the source for me.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's exactly what my professor did. Oh, I can't even... Okay, well, I'm going to call out Brian Gardner. He was my instructor there for that class, and he did a fantastic job. But yeah, so I think my professor, when he was looking through books, he ended up on Big Nerd Ranch for the exact same reason that you did. So,
okay. Yeah. So now you're in the class.
Yep.
And it's a week long. Yep. How does it start?
It's intense. You start out.
Well, hold on. Let me interrupt you real quick because I just thought of it. So let's, to get a better idea. So you have a week, but also what's the scope of that week? Like, what are you expecting to learn in one crash course of a language? Seems to be pretty intimidating to me.
Yeah, and I mean the list of things they say they're going to teach you is, you know, to the point they're like, there's no way I can learn all this stuff. And that is actually the reality too. Like, there's no way in 1 week you will learn extremely well all of those topics.
Right.
But let's kind of go through what actually goes down in one of these boot camps.
Okay, so let's give
you an idea. Yeah.
Back to where it starts.
Yeah. So, I mean, it starts out pretty great. You go to Atlanta, Georgia. They've got other locations for their boot camps too, but I was in Atlanta. And beautiful setting, like a nice hotel cabin experience in the woods on a golf course in Atlanta. Yep, very, very nice. A little remote, feels pretty outdoorsy. And I liked it.
Okay,
and
cool.
There was a welcome dinner the night before. I think I got there on a Sunday. It was going to start on Monday. And so I got to meet everybody in a very casual setting. The first night we had a good conversation around the dinner table, and then the next morning we get to the class. We've got our computers there, and they give us these books. It's a spiral bound book. I think normally they would give you a Big Nerd Ranch book, but right. In this case, the advanced Android topic was not in a published book yet.
So you got like beta version.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
So it was like printed paper in a spiral bound book, and and it's thick too. It's like really, really thick.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you still have it?
No, I don't, because I mean that was the property of the Navy.
Okay.
But what's nice is I still have my login and I can still access the PDF. So,
oh, sweet.
I still have access to that resource, which is awesome.
Cool.
But I don't want to print that out.
Yeah.
That's a lot of paper.
Yeah.
So
understandable.
You've got this big book, and the instructors come out, Brian comes out, and I, for the life of me, cannot remember who his assistant was, but he did a great job as well. And they kind of tag team the topics. There's some slides to get you started, introduce you to what you're going to do, introduce you to them and how the process is going to work. And then literally they're like, and go. And you open up the book and you just, it's just like, the challenge is you're going to basically do a Big Nerd Ranch book in a week.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like Big Nerd Ranch Live.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And it's, you literally run through the book. Every so often they'll stop you and, explain a topic and, a little bit. But mostly, like most of the day, I would say 90% of the day, you are just going through the book, literally doing the Big Nerd Ranch book the way they are normally done. But the nice thing is, A, you've got a bunch of people around you who are doing it too,
mm-hmm.
and you've got the instructor there who had a hand in writing the book.
That's nice.
And, yeah, and so when something doesn't work, you go to them and you ask them. And this is particularly good for Android, because Android, unlike iOS, their development tools move a lot quicker than iOS.
Oh, okay.
And so I think by the time we worked on it, there were like two iterations of Android Studio that had changed. Some of the frameworks that were added, that we were using had been updated, and they were slightly, like the exact terminology wasn't quite right in the book.
Okay. That's gotta be frustrating.
Yeah. So something wouldn't work. And so, we'd have to go to Brian and be like, all right, I've got this error. Yeah. I cannot figure out what this is.
Yep.
And, he would help debug it for us. And that was some of the most powerful stuff, was like just seeing how he debugged things and just having the experience of getting through those issues.
Yeah,
was incredibly valuable.
I was going to say that watching him debug was probably the most valuable part of the course, or at least I would think it would be. Watching how someone who knows what they're doing work through a problem.
But I would agree with you, except the fact that because we didn't have a lot of time, oftentimes it was, hey, Brian, I've got an issue, but I got to keep going because there's no way I'm going to get through enough pages for today.
Oh, so you didn't actually get to watch his method.
Yeah, it's like there just wasn't enough time for that. So
that makes sense.
Sometimes I could look over his shoulder, but it wasn't like he was putting the computer screen on a
like he wasn't projector. Projecting it. Yeah,
and then walking us line by line through how he did it. So it was valuable of just getting through it for sure.
Right.
It would have been a little bit better if we had more time to do that, but yeah, c'est la vie.
Okay. And did you get through the book?
Yes. Got through the entire book. I'm trying to think, I might have skipped one chapter. I'd say, this is one of the good things or problems with the very first class. Good thing they provided more content than they could actually provide for that week.
Right.
Bad thing, we were the guinea pigs, and they didn't know that they had more content than we could possibly consume that week. So it was a little kind of frustrating, because we thought we'd have time to do like group projects. But by day two, it was abundantly clear that if we didn't spend all of our time plowing through this, we were not going to make it through. And
okay.
I had some very specific goals in mind. I really wanted to learn some of the testing stuff that was presented in that course. And some of that stuff was particularly tough to get through. So,
they have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And you get to say you were part of the inaugural Advanced Android class, which is also kind of cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. And so this comes back to what we were talking about before. Like, there were so many topics. And did I learn every single one of those extremely well during that week? No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you two years later, I'm working on something with my coworker right now, my current company, and I look at this stuff and go, I don't really know how to do that. I haven't really done it myself, except I went to this boot camp and I plowed through a project that had that in it. I've got a resource to go to. I can go back to that book. And B, I'm not super afraid of it because I've done it. I've seen what the code looks like. I've got an idea of what to expect about it. All I need to do is look it up and understand it more fully.
So the value of the boot camp for you was the familiarity you were able to acquire with a large amount of the concepts in Android? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because it was so broad, like all these different, topics and whatnot. it excuse me it yeah it, it was too much for my brain to handle that week. Mm-hmm. And so it took years for it all to get out, which is intriguing to me that I still remembered some of this stuff. But yes, it absolutely helped me get through stuff that I never thought I would ever, you know, work with.
Okay. And do you think you're better at those concepts now that you had to do kind of a majority of it on your own? Like they kind of opened the door for you.
Yeah.
But you had to do the work to walk through it.
Yes.
So do you think that made you a better programmer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Instead of them maybe just hand-feeding you everything and pushing you through that door themselves?
I mean, I think I could have benefited from, like, all that information in a longer period of time, fed a little more slowly with more in-depth on those topics.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I didn't have that time then. I don't have that time now.
I'm right there with you.
So for what I learned in that week, I mean, it was worth every penny. I've used so much of that and, like, what I've learned from that, it was worth every penny that I didn't spend on it, the Navy spent on it.
Exactly. That makes it even even better.
One thing I will say, I did get a very comfortable Big Nerd Ranch alumni t-shirt afterwards.
Oh, nice.
I really, really love that shirt. Unfortunately, I wear it too much.
Oh, no.
I am starting to wear holes in it. If anyone from Big Nerd Ranch is listening, I would like to get in contact with you to how I can get another one of these t-shirts.
Well, I know how you can get another one.
Yeah, besides going to the...
another boot camp.
I work for a startup. We can't afford that.
It sounds like you like it enough to maybe go on your own.
Possibly. But I'm also a walking billboard at my meetups. So, Big Nerd Ranch, if you're listening, I would love to acquire another one of these alumni shirts because I love to wear them during my meetups.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah. So
is there anything else Big Nerd Ranch related? Oh, you know what? Let's go back to the books really quick.
Okay, sure.
So what do you have any favorite parts of the books?
I know I personally like the challenges towards the end of the chapters, if that's what you're getting at.
That is where I was going exactly, okay. Because I would like to talk more about those.
Sure, go for it.
So at the end of each chapter, not each chapter, but a majority of the chapters, they provide you with challenges, and they're bronze, silver, and gold. And the difficulty of each is directly associated with the color of challenge. I think those are the most valuable pages in the entire book.
Yeah.
If you skip over those, you are doing yourself a vast disservice.
I agree.
And you are missing out on what makes those books special. You can read through it and just do the exercises in the book and you'll come away with knowledge, but you won't be able to, I mean, I assume if you're buying these books, you're doing it so you can learn the language. You won't learn the language as well if you skip over those challenges.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that they teach, like those challenges teach you more than what the rest of the book teaches you, is how to be a real developer.
Yes.
Because throughout most of the book, you're learning the concepts, you're doing the concepts, you're writing the code. And it's not until you get to the challenges that you do what every developer does. And that's get on Google and go to Stack Overflow.
A lot of Googling. A whole lot of Googling.
Yeah, it is presented that way. Like, it's like when I have a job, it's presented that here's a problem, go solve it. And guess what the Big Nerd Ranch does? Here's three problems, go solve them.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, I think that's brilliant. And they don't provide answers.
No, they don't.
You can't find the answers Big Nerd Ranch doesn't provide official answers.
They don't. They do have forums, but when I was looking at them, the forums were kind of sparse. And I also bought the books soon after they came out. So I don't know if the traffic to those forums just hadn't picked up yet because the books, you know, were brand new, and so people were still working through them. But there will be people who post answers in there. I did get stuck on a few of the gold challenges, and I think I had to skip a couple of them because I was just at a point where I couldn't figure it out, and it was it was blocking me. So I made the conscious decision, like, you know, I would give it a couple of days, you know.
You gave it the old college try.
I wouldn't look at it for an hour and think, okay, well, time to move on. I would sit there and try to figure it out, which is another thing that also happens as a real developer, right?
Yep.
Like, sometimes you just hit a wall and you need to move on.
Yep.
And as long as you do your research, you know, that's going to make you better. Even if you don't get the answer, working to get the answer is going to make you a better developer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So please, if you get the books, please do those challenges.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because you know me, I don't do homework very well.
I've picked up on that.
Yeah. I probably never would have done those challenges if it weren't for that first class requiring us to do the challenges as homework.
And oh, so you were forced into it.
I was forced into it at first. And after a while, I realized I had just fun doing those challenges. And I would try to do them in unique ways. Because, I mean, sometimes it was just really obvious, do this and you'll get there. But sometimes, like, you could really, like, step it up a notch and, like,
yes,
yeah, it got fun. And yes. So, yeah.
Yes. Like, I enjoy doing puzzles, like, and solving riddles. And I feel like the way they present their challenges, it's kind of like a brain teaser.
Yeah.
It's like, you have this code, get here. You know, here's your endpoint, here's your start point. Do whatever you want to in the middle as long as you end up here.
Yeah.
And just thinking about that kind of development, it gets me really excited.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I actually took that concept. That was definitely one of the concepts I had in my class, the class that I taught on Android. We would go for a while. We would do so many examples and so on and so forth. And then I would stop and I would put, you know, one or two challenges on a slide and say, okay, take the next hour, try to get these things done. And I saw the most creativity, the most buy-in at that point, because now they're not just typing what I've typed before. They are having to get on Google and get creative. And I saw some really neat stuff come out of that.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, they have to engage, right?
Yeah.
And so they're it's no longer passive learning, it's active learning.
Yeah, and what was cool is, like, during the class, they made three separate Android apps. And, you know, a lot of the students would own those apps. And by the end, they'd, like, pick one of their favorites and, like, expand on it. Like, one was just, like, drawing lines with your finger. And so, one student was, like, every time you would draw a line, it'd be a different color. Another one had an erase and, like, a back and an undo.
Okay.
Another one had, like, the ability to, like, draw lines and draw squares. And it was, like, crazy with it. Yeah. And all the app just started out with just draw lines. And this is how you do it.
And that, so as an instructor, seeing your students kind of run wild, how did that make you feel?
Oh, great. Yeah. Fantastic. It's just amazing to see that. I love teaching. Like, we could end up doing a whole topic on this one day. and it's weird to me because, like, when I enter that teaching mode, I don't think about my health anymore. And I get so excited to, you know, like, to just teach a topic that I will push myself to exhaustion.
Wow.
And so I remember that week going by, like, so fast. And at the end of the week, I was just dead tired.
I bet so. I can see how it would be easy to kind of lose yourself in the whole process.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember doing that, you know, when I was teaching C and whatnot. So it's like, I know this is something I really enjoy doing. And this is exactly why I, you know, have the meetup out here in LA, because I love to, you know, I love to teach.
Well, I can hear your passion for it just in your voice right now. So it sounds like you're very excited to even have this topic brought up.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like it. It's really hard to describe, but when you're passionate about something and you can convey that passion to somebody else and you see the spark and you see them grow, there's just literally nothing like that in the world. Yeah, you can't beat it.
That's fantastic. I will have to try it sometime.
Yeah, you should. Absolutely. It's the best way to learn, to be honest.
That's very true. It's very true.
I remember when I got the job to teach C, I was a little nervous because it had been many years since I had actually taken a C course.
That seems to be a common theme.
Yeah.
With your whole career.
Just dive straight in.
Yeah.
And I remember we got to the part on pointers, and one of the students asked me a question on it, and I'm like, I don't even know what a pointer is. Let me read the chapter of the book, and I'll get back to you.
Oh man, that's great.
Yeah, and so I learned pointers, and I learned pointers extremely well. And yeah, after a while, because like I was on the spot, like I couldn't fake it, because like all of my students looked to me to teach them this subject.
Right.
So I had to dive in further than they would.
You're on the hook to not mm-hmm. only figure out your questions but theirs as well.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. So to in order to do that, you have to know a subject pretty in depth.
Yeah, or be willing to learn that subject faster than your students.
Yep, that's true too. So, do you have any criticisms?
Oh, geez, that's a hard question. Let me think about that one. You start. Do you have any criticisms?
It's real easy for me. It's no. You know, oh. I don't. I seriously don't.
Come on, we gotta have some criticisms.
It's hard for me to criticize it when I went through the books, and I went through one of them twice. If I had any criticisms, I probably would have put it down and looked for another source. But yeah. I bought in fully, and also, it's hard for me to criticize the knowledge base it gave me that I have then turned around and I've started my own kind of independent app development.
Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
You know, 90% of exactly. So I mean I have obviously bought in, which it also sounds like you have bought in at a much higher rate than I have. And so I can't critique it. Like, it's really hard for me to find a flaw in what they do, because what they do worked so well for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and they're all nice people too. Like that comes from leadership. You know, like I said, I've met Aaron. I know the quality of a person that he is.
Have you washed your hand yet? I feel this is starting to feel like one of those conversations.
No, I have not washed my hand in multiple years. That would be awful. Oh, that's so gross. But yeah, like it comes, you know, it definitely trickles down to the rest of the staff. Everybody that I've met that's worked for Big Nerd Rich has been insanely nice. Even all the way down to the group that I met up with at AltConf this year, I was waiting in line for AltConf, and the guys behind us were wearing Big Nerd Ranch shirts. And at first I thought it was Big Nerd Ranch alumni, because it looks just like the alumni shirt I have. But then I noticed there was no alumni under it. I went, oh, wait, are you guys from Big Nerd Ranch?
Wow.
It turns out they were. And one of the guys actually looked really familiar to me, and he looked familiar, yeah, is vice versa.
Right.
And I thought it was because of the boot camp I went to.
Right.
It turned out that no, and I wish I could remember his name, and hopefully you reach out to me after this if you hear this, and I'd love to reach out to you and talk with you again, because we didn't have much time to talk during AltConf. But this guy was actually at a job fair that I went with my current company to recruit people.
Oh, and really?
So I partially interviewed this guy at this, like, job fair thing. And, yeah, I know. So crazy. In L.A., you know, I was in L.A., and he ended up moving out to Atlanta to work for Big Nerd Ranch. And, you know, came to AltConf in San Jose, and we ran into each other.
Wow.
Small world, right?
No kidding.
But, you know, so great for him. Like, I am so happy that he landed there because, you know, that's what a place to work when you're getting started.
No kidding.
I can't think of a better place to get started. So I didn't get started there, but I can imagine, you know.
Right. Well, if you're just surrounded by people who are that adept at teaching others, then you're going to learn. Right? Yeah. Like, you're just going to learn.
Absolutely.
So, and it sounds like you'll learn a lot and a broad array of topics, too. So it sounds like an amazing place.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've been to their headquarters, too. So I got a tour.
You know, the more you talk, the more I think they're going to issue a restraining order if anyone right? does listen
I
to this.
I stalk them.
Like, it's starting to get a little creepy.
No, I did get a tour there. It was right after the boot camp, so I got to go to the headquarters and check it out. It's a pretty nice digs.
Nice. Yeah. So when you went for your tour, was it like late at night? The building was locked down. You had to get around security.
Yeah. I was all alone too.
It was just a personal tour that you led yourself on.
You know, it's funny. It was actually after hours, though. It was.
Not surprised by that coming from you.
And I can't remember who gave me the tour. I'm so terrible. I should have done some homework beforehand to find a name so I could call them out. But another great person at Big Nerd Ranch who showed me around, got to see all the cool stuff they had there. So
that's great. I may have to nice people there. I may have to, you know, get out to a boot camp.
Yeah, I recommend it highly.
That's what it sounds like to me. Yeah. So, do you know?
And you can maybe, give me your shirt.
from the plea you just put out, there's no way I'm going to part with that thing. So, what? As far as their boot camps go, are they accommodating for all levels? Do you know?
They have beginner and advanced courses. So there is a beginning iOS course, which I would actually say that I think you're beyond right now in your learning.
Okay.
I would suggest you go to the advanced iOS course.
So it's strictly binary. It's beginner and advanced. There's no like intermediate.
I don't know their full range of courses. We could look that up.
Oh, at this point, I thought you would just have it tattooed on like your forearm or something.
No, I don't.
Okay, just something really creepy.
I have participated in some of their polls because I am a big Nerd Ranch alumni. So I follow them on Twitter, and every so often I reply to their polls, and so I kind of have an idea of what classes they're, you know, planning on offering or looking to offer. I don't keep track of it
okay.
too much.
That's fair. That's fair.
I know one of the most recent ones was like, how would you like to be able to communicate more with alumni? And I suggested the ability to have a Slack team because we have a Slack team for Swiftcoders.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah, that's how you and I met.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, so let's just meet on the internet and then do a podcast.
Exactly. So I think that would be so cool for Big Nerd Ranch alumni to have a Slack team. And, you know, stuff like this could come out of it.
Exactly. And you'll be getting with like-minded people and talking about the same topic that you're both interested in. I think that's exactly where good things come from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So Big Nerd Ranch, get on it.
Get on it.
Get on it. You don't have enough going on right now.
Right? Yeah.
So totally. Lastly, dumb question. Would you recommend it?
Yes.
Just
absolutely.
All every bit of it.
I would recommend every bit of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the best way to learn. How about yourself? Would you recommend Big Nerd Ranch?
I strongly recommend the books. I don't have any experience with any other part of it, but from, like, you have sold me on it.
Yeah.
You've sold me on it. If I get a chance, I may have to check it out. So Fireside Swift, 5 stars for Big Nerd Ranch.
Yeah.
So let's go 10 stars. Let's double it.
10 stars. There we go.
We're doubling it.
10 fluffy puppies.
Yes. All of it for Big Nerd Ranch.
Yes.
And if it's something, so if you're listening to this podcast, I can only assume, you know, you kind of want to learn a little bit about Swift. I highly suggest going out as soon as you can and picking these books up. It's going to be, it's going to give you a giant leap forward in your knowledge.
Yeah, I'm actually on their website right now. I totally forgot about this. They also do on-site training.
Oh,
so
really?
Your organization has, like, let's say it's intermediate skill level, not advanced, but you want just like a more catered, you know, class.
Yes.
You can have them fly out a trainer to your organization, and they'll teach a personal class just for you.
Well, that's very valuable.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that's kind of cool.
I also know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
Yeah, right? That'd be sweet. I'd be down for that.
Your own personal Big Nerd Ranch course.
Yay. there's a ton I actually do want to learn, so that would be amazing.
So easy. Yeah. So easy.
Yeah.
Cool. So is that it for now for Big Nerd Ranch?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to go out on a higher note than that, right? Like, yeah. just push them as hard as possible, because I, for one, fully endorse and fully believe in them.
We should probably say, Big Nerd Ranch is not paying us. They're not advertising with us. They're not sponsoring us. Zach and I talked about this ahead of time. We said, you know, hey, we both learned from this company. We wanted to, you know, spread the word about how great this is.
So. And I think it's pretty awesome that we both came to the company independently.
Yeah.
Like, when I was going through these books, I had no idea who you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I didn't know who you were either.
Yeah, exactly. So it's something that we both feel very, very strongly about, and we're both high, really big proponents of that company.
Yep. All right, so I guess going back to feedback, we talked about I've been told on Twitter that I am Sauron.
Yes.
Which I guess I probably shouldn't be embracing, because he's a pretty bad guy.
No, he's not the best. Not the best.
Did we ever get feedback? I don't think I saw it. Who are you?
We never got feedback as to who I am. We were told we were supposed to discuss it amongst ourselves.
Okay. So this is us discussing who.
Exactly. We'll do it live on air. So yeah. I can't point out a specific character and be like, that's me. I think I would be a hobbit, though.
Who was the brother of Gollum that he strangled?
Deagle.
There you go.
So I'm the dead one.
You're the dead one.
Okay. That works. No, I would, but he was a river hobbit. That's completely different.
Hey, you want to be a hobbit.
I mean, because they're curious, they're playful, and they eat like 47 meals a day.
Who were the grumpy ones that were neighbors to Bilbo?
Oh, that I do not remember. That I do not remember. But yeah, no, I would have to be a hobbit.
Knowing us, like, just like thinking of our interactions with like Garrick when he talks to both of us at the same time, which poor guy when he does.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
We are actually Merry and Pippin.
Exactly.
I don't know which one I am. I would say I'm Pippin, but.
Yeah, and you know,
I'd say you're more Merodach.
Garrick is probably like Gandalf, just like putting up with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. I'm okay taking on the Merry and Pippin roles of the Swift Coders group.
The more I think about this, the more I think it's super fitting. We are actually Merry and Pippin. I'm changing my name right now. I'm Pippin.
I guess that makes me Merry.
My Peregrine Took.
Yep. Awesome.
Alright, so I'll let you take the next item.
Okay, so now is the time in the show when we ask for reviews. So yes. we have Rob's review that we kind of gushed about last week, but it's getting lonely. It's just lonely. Sitting there. And so that episode went out on Wednesday. We are recording this Friday. So I understand there's not a whole lot of time. That window is pretty short. And for, you know, time constraints, we're having to record this on a Friday. But I'm hoping maybe by the next time we record in a couple of weeks, maybe Rob's review maybe has a little brother, a little sister.
Yeah.
Huh? Nice. That would be nice. He wouldn't be so lonely anymore. And I could go to sleep much easier knowing that it has something on that page to keep it company.
Yeah. Me too.
So... please, if you have the time and if you enjoy what we're doing here, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Or, you know, favorite us on Overcast. That helps too. That helps spread the love. Unfortunately, we can't see when you do that. At least I can't figure out how to see that. But I know that helps spread the love, and that's what we'd like. We'd like more people to learn about Swift, and it's the amazing things
exactly.
You can do.
Exactly. We're trying to turn more people from Android. More yes. People who were where Steven was.
Yes, who used to love the Android overlords.
And yeah. Now he has seen the light. And look at him now. See, this is the great thing that iOS and Swift development can do for you.
Well, I think it's funny because like most of my coworkers have no idea how much of an Android fanboy I used to be. And because I've made such a reversal.
I had no idea. Yeah, like, that's not something I've ever heard you speak about before.
To this day, like I still think Android is a decent operating system, but there are major flaws, and they are enough that there is no possible way I would be using an Android phone right now.
There's so up until a couple of years ago, I had nothing but Androids. And I finally just got fed up with it. They would work well for about the first year.
Yeah.
And then that second year, because I usually get a new phone every couple of years, that second year, it would just go to hell.
Well, see, like, I thought that's just really, how phones were. I used to use Windows machines, and that's exactly how a Windows computer works.
That's true.
So
that's
true. But that's how phones were.
But I've now had two iPhones, and neither one has acted that way on me.
I still have my very first iPhone, which is an iPhone 5S, and the thing still runs amazing. It's still like it's the best feeling phone in my hand for sure, and yeah. I have no problems with it at all. I turned it on, you know, battery save mode, and it lasts for weeks without charging.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, I just got fed up with dealing with that kind of stuff out of Android, and I was like, I'll give iPhones a try. And I was never an Android fanboy. That just kind of always seemed to be what I ended up with for whatever reason. Yeah. But no, after I got my first iPhone, I just haven't looked back.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I was too. Once I got my first iPhone, which I bought because I needed an iOS test device. I was writing iOS apps.
it's helpful to have one of those.
Yeah, literally, I bought my first iPhone under protest because you know I needed an iPhone.
Did you walk into the store and you're like, I don't want to be here?
Yeah, kind of.
And but you were paying for it, and you're like, just so you
but
know.
I was also,
I was
also kind of excited that my first contract paid for my first iPhone. Mm. So it was kind of like a happy joy thing. But it was to me, it was just going to be like, all right, I'm switching to this lesser phone to, have a test device.
Right, you're being forced into it.
Yeah, and then after a while, it's like, I noticed there were certain things that it couldn't do that Android could do, but everything else was just so much nicer. And after a while, in the subsequent iOS releases, the gap's closed, and there's very little that you cannot do on iOS that you can do on Android. There are still certain things, but there's a reason you can't do them on iOS. It's particularly some of the reasons there are like what caused Android phones to get so bad the next year.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, that's a little story at the end there in the outro for you.
Yeah. This is Fireside Swift. We talk all the time. So.
But this is Fireside Swift. We're tangential.
Yes, and we burn everything.
Exactly. Exactly. We have no real format.
Not at all. let's see here. We are also part of the I believe what? We have the name correct on this. We are part of the Swift Coders Podcast Network.
I'm going to let you run with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been calling it the last several weeks.
Let's stick with it.
So Garrick has not announced it, I'm going to come out and say that's what it's called, and if he wants to change the name, that's great.
Well, at this point, it sounds like we've named it.
I think we've named it. But we do have the little banner on our on the podcast artwork, and that's because we support the other Swift Coders podcasts that are out there, which are the Learn Swift Podcast.
Came out with episode 3 yesterday, by the way.
Yes.
That would be Thursday. What was yesterday's date?
Yeah, and I'm particularly excited about that one because it's Jay.
Yes.
And Jay is who introduced me to Garrick.
Oh, really?
Yes. We were talking on the meetup forums when I was trying to get into meetups here in LA. He was talking about wanting a meetup in Santa Monica, and I was like, oh, I've got space, you know, let's figure something out. And we happened to go to the same Cocoa Heads meetup, and I was like, hey, you're the guy from the meetup thing. He's like, yeah. And then he introduced me to Garrick, and everything went to hell after that.
It sounds like it. It definitely sounds like it. Have you listened to it yet?
No, I didn't know it came out until earlier today.
I listened to it yesterday. It's a very good episode.
Nice. But I haven't listened to episode 2 yet, so I need to listen to that first.
You haven't even done that homework.
Oh, this has been a busy week.
I'll let you slide this week.
All right, thanks.
All right, so Stephen, where can we reach you?
You can reach me on Twitter at SWBerard. That's B-E-R-A-R-D as in dog.
Very nice. And you can reach me on Twitter. My handle is at ZFalgout1. That's Z-F as in Frank, A-L-G-O-U-T, and the number 1.
All right. And we also have the Swift, Fireside Swift Twitter account.
We're running the Swift Twitter account now?
Yeah, we're running the Swift Twitter account.
That would be very bad.
And we're setting it ablaze.
Yep. we're on Twitter as a show, and that is Fireside_Swift.
Yeah, so you can reach both of us there, although Zach does most of the replying there because he does such a great job with it.
Oh, it's so much fun. It is so much fun talking to people and just, you know, getting to know people. I'm having such a blast with that. Such a blast.
Yeah. So, all right. I think that's it. That's all I got.
That is it for today. I mean, I feel like this went much longer than I was expecting. So we should probably shut it down.
We probably should. Hopefully you're not tired of Big Nerd Ranch by now.
No. In fact, I'm even higher on them than I was before. Like, I'm looking at these books and I'm like, maybe now I can go back and maybe check some of those gold challenges out that I missed. Maybe now
actually, that's time to do that. I would like to do that too. That's a good thought. Just go back and try to tackle the ones I couldn't tackle before.
Exactly. But you don't do the easy homework, so I'm not holding my breath.
Good point.
All right, guys. That's it for us this week.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Take it easy.
Was Utah still destroying Wisconsin?
No.
Oh, it swapped?
In fact, it was... So Utah State was up 10-0.
Yeah.
And then Wisconsin scored with 4 minutes left in the first half.
Okay.
Oh, no, with like 1 minute left in the first half.
Okay.
And then Utah State went out there, threw an interception.
Ooh.
And
let Wisconsin back in the game?
Yeah, Wisconsin kicked a field goal to tie it up. And then Wisconsin got the ball back to begin the second half, and they just put their boot to Utah State's throat.
Yeah. Utah was looking really good. I was impressed. And then it looked like they were on another good drive, and then they got stopped at third and one, and the quarterback got stopped. They tried a quarterback sneak.
Yeah,
and it looked like, okay, this looks like this might get Wisconsin going.
Right.
Because they were just gashing Wisconsin, so.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was hoping for the underdog.
Me too.
Wisconsin's kind of cool, too. Like, they're a good team.
Me too. Yeah. I was excited to maybe see. But a lot of the games have started out that way. The lower-ranked team seems to jump ahead, and then the higher-ranked team has come back.
Yeah, that's I mean, the really high-end programs, the reason they're good is they have stamina and they've got depth.
Yeah.
And the smaller schools may have talent and they may have heart, which gets you about a half of a football game.
Right. Exactly.
So that's, but every so often you get, a Boise State or something.
Yep. And, Boise State puts together a couple of good seasons and then they kind of got their program rolling.
Yeah. Yeah. Screw Boise State.
Okay. Yeah.
So well, they were Fresno's rival for like the entire time I was in school there.
I see. Yeah. Well, screw Boise State.
Screw Boise State.
You and your Smurf turf.
Yeah. I feel like that's illegal.
Yeah.
They wear blue uniforms. They have the blue turf.
Yep.
I feel like it's cheating.
I actually saw a worse football field today. And because my boss went to Texas Tech.
What could be worse than the Smurf turf?
I will show you Texas Tech football schedule. They're playing some weird, it's like Eastern Washington State or something.
Okay.
And yeah, the Eastern Washington Eagles. If you go, I'm going to look up their field real quick. It is hideous. It's red, like a vibrant red. Oh, where is it?
I just started looking at the notes. I know, I just started looking at the notes. Speaking of red.
Yeah. Well, I'm just there to help.
Yep, very nice. Awesome.
Yeah. This way you won't forget at all.
Yeah.
All right, I just sent you the page to their field.
Oh, holy mackerel.
Look at that.
That is red.
Yeah.
That is very, very, very red.
Yeah. I don't get that at all.
I don't get it. Like, how is that legal?
That hurts to look at.
But I can't even see the players.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, just don't.
Yeah.
Keep it green.
Yeah, just keep it green. And, you know, and don't let people have green uniforms.
Well, I mean, even people with green uniforms, the green on their uniforms never really matches the green of the turf.
Usually, but I still, like, let's just, like, avoid that.
Just, you know? Just outlaw just avoid completely.
That. Yeah. Like, even Oregon wears, like, black uniforms now.
Sorry, Green Bay. You are no longer green.
Yep. Cheaters.
Cheaters.
No pinstripes in baseball.
Wow, you have all sorts of just uniform rules coming out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, Yankees are the only ones with pinstripes.
No, the Astros have it too.
Oh, dude, not the same though. There's like Astros barely have anything.
Yeah, it's a lot thinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No pinstripes.
Nope. Okay. Still no pinstripes.
Cheaters.